those words? Did I believe them? I have no idea. Not anymore. It happens over and over again. I close my eyes, waiting for the inevitable. I hear the rasp of Vader's breath, the creak of his armor, the scream of the lightsaber. I feel the searing pain in my side. Eyes. Scream. Saber. Pain. Eyes. Scream. Saber. Pain. Eyes. Scream. Saber. I sit up, crying out in the stillness of the room. I'm not where I was. The battle station, the troopers, even Vader. They're all gone, as if they never existed. I am home, perched on the poor stone slab that has served as a bed for nearly 20 years. Where is my mattress? I glance around the cramped room. Everything is as it should be, although some of the more recent additions are missing. The wooden chair that I built from Jaipur wood. The set of clay bowls scavenged from a deserted Jawa caravan. The humidifier purchased from Watto, at a highly inflated price, I should add. Have I been robbed? No, this is how the hut looked in the early days of my exile, when I still etched a calendar of sorts into the wall above my bed to mark the passage of time. I run my hand across the pitted surface. 3 years scored into the stone. I'd found the old prospector's hut perched high on a windswept bluff. It was empty, long since abandoned, but I knew immediately that it would serve me well. The walls were solid, the roof sound, and the caves beneath the cellar an ideal place for meditation and training. Most important, it was remote, surrounded by a vast sea of dunes. I would be left alone. I swing my legs onto the rough stone floor. That's when I realize I don't ache. For the first time in years, my body doesn't complain when I push myself from the bed. I look down at my hands. They're the hands of a much younger man. They don't shake, they don't tremble. The skin is supple, tanned but not yet discolored by the twin sun's constant glare. I flex my fingers, expecting to hear the creak of rheumatic joints. Nothing. The fingers are strong. One might even suggest dexterous. I run them through my beard, a thought occurring to me. I rush through to the back of the modest dwelling, past the stove and pantry, to the tarnished mirror hanging on the far wall. The face in the glass is largely free of lines, the skin smooth. The tousled shock of hair is thick, only the beard betraying a smattering of grey. The world lurches. I throw a hand against the wall to steady myself. This is the past. The mattress, the chair, the bowls, and the humidifier, they're not missing. They just haven't arrived yet. I pitch forward, falling into the swirling cycle of my death. Eyes, scream, saber, pain. Eyes, scream, saber, pain. Eyes, scream, saber, pain. But this time there's more. So much more. A newborn baby, cradled in my arms, wailing as his mother breathes her last. Qui-Gon, sinking to his knees, smoke rising from the jagged hole in his gut. Eyes that once looked on me as a brother, corrupted by the dark side, burning yellow with hate. Maul's pyre raging beneath the desert sky. A severed arm twitching by the light of my saber. Empty robes tumbling to the floor. A voice calling my name. Eyes, scream, saber, pain. Eyes, scream, saber. I sit up, gasping for air. I'm back on the bed. Dust motes dancing in the light that streams through the hut's narrow windows. My vision blurs and I'm in the temple on Coruscant, the way it was long before Palpatine made a mockery of those hallowed halls. Yoda stares at me across the chamber, a wry smile creasing that ancient face.
For everything, a reason there is.
But why here? I yell, as I slide back to the sun-beaten hut. Why now? There is no answer. I sit on the edge of the bed, trying to remember what happened when I first lived this morning. I look down, seeing a ghost of my younger self twisting and turning on the slab, caught in a nightmare. He moans, he whimpers, he sits bolt upright, a single word on his lips as he wakes, a single name. Luke! And then I am alone again. I know what day this is. I recognize the knot in the pit of my stomach, the sense of foreboding that makes my skin crawl. Luke is in danger. Something is about to happen that will change everything.
Go to him,
urges a voice inside my head. Yes, master, I reply, shielding my eyes as I barrel out into the sunlight. Nida is waiting for me, lounging beneath a makeshift shelter, animal skin stretched taut across a rickety frame. The structure will remain long after the poor thing dies of old age, the tattered cover keeping me awake at night as it flaps incessantly in the wind. Then one morning it will be gone, ripped from the side of the house by a desert storm. But that hasn't happened yet. My trustee of cantankerous Eopie is alive and well, snuffling around in the dirt, foraging for roots in the scorched ground. I have an overwhelming urge to throw my arms around her, but Nida regards me with her usual disdain, a surly snort her only greeting before she resumes the fruitless search for sustenance. Quite right. Just as it should be. But for now, her breakfast needs to wait. She doesn't complain as I tighten the cracked leather straps around her middle, ignoring me completely as I hoist myself onto the saddle. Come on, old girl. Let's go. I pull on the reins, gently jabbing my heels into her flank, when she still doesn't respond. Finally, she grunts and begrudgingly obliges, picking up the pace as we trot down the winding path to the valley beneath. Soon, we are charging across the salt flats, Nida snorting as I push her harder than ever before. Her broad feet pound the sand, rushing past bone-white skeletons picked clean by the claw condors. I imagine a cavalcade of scenarios, each more terrible than the last. Is it the Sand People? Owen can handle Tuscan raiders as well as anyone on the wastes, but the nomads have a special reason to hate his family, a grudge still not forgotten and far from forgiven. Have they finally taken their revenge? The sins of the father visited upon the son? I tighten my grip on Nida's reins, urging her on. Of course there are other terrors on Tatooine. The loathsome clump of blubber that is Jabba the Hutt for one. Owen is a proud man. He's likely to fight rather than pay the protection money Jabba demands of his neighbors. Surely Owen wouldn't be that stupid, after what he's promised. No, Owen knows when to fight his battles. But what if the threat comes not from Tatooine at all, but from the stars above? Gangsters and raiders are one thing, but the Empire is another. Owen wouldn't stand a chance against the crack squad of Imperial troopers. Is a dropship already plummeting through Tatooine's thin atmosphere? Are my worst fears about to be realized? I imagine sand crunching beneath heavy black boots, a dark cape billowing in a desert squall, the mechanical wheeze of a respirator. And then, I am back on the battle station. Vader is waiting for me in the corridor ahead, standing in silence, his lightsaber already pulsing red. He knew I was coming, that I was on board his engine of destruction. Does he know what I've done? Have all my efforts been for naught? Why won't he say anything as motionless as a statue? 19 years, 19 years since I left him to die. 19 years of reliving his corruption every night in my dreams. What does he look like under that mask? What does he see through those ruby lenses? A friend. An enemy. A relic. He appears so calm, so controlled, but I can feel his rage, seething like the perdition nebula beneath that heartless faceplate. His fury threatens to overwhelm him, just as it always did, but he keeps it in check. I can't help but be impressed. The Emperor has taught my former Padawan well. I can only imagine the poison that has spilled from Palpatine's lips since Mustafar.
Savor your hatred, my apprentice. Nurture it. Let it empower you. Let it bring you strength.
I always knew this day would come. I just didn't know where or when. I certainly never imagined it would be in a place like this, on a planet killer the like of which the galaxy has never seen. A million voices cry out as one, washing over me, their pain my own. Finally, Vader steps forward to meet me. My lightsaber ignites, the vibration of the power cell rising up my arm.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again, at last.
The voice is unrecognizable. How little of my friend is left. Another memory assaults me, a woman lying on a bed, her breath shallow. There's good in him. Did she really believe that after everything he had done? If she did, wouldn't she still be here? Wouldn't she have lived? What would she think of him now? No. My friend is dead, of that I am certain. The thing in front of me is not Anakin Skywalker.
The circle is now complete.
The usurper declares, his arrogance the final betrayal.
When I left you, I was but the learner.
When I left you. Every word is a trigger, dragging me back and forth through the years. I'm standing on a loose scree, a river of molten lava churning below. Is this where you left me, Darth? Or was it even earlier? When you leapt onto a speeder bike and raced into the night, or when you held Padme by the throat. I feel my own anger rising, my years of training, of discipline ebbing away. I barely hear what he's saying.
Now I am the master.
His image flickers, like a disrupted hollow feed. 1 second, he is the armored giant I see before me. The next, a charred husk reaching out on a carbonized shore. One face impassive and angular, the other blackened and screaming in agony. Then there are more, joining the fluctuating cycle. A fresh-faced teen, eager to take up the mantle of a Jedi. A spirited slave boy, pulling grime-ridden goggles over innocent eyes. A limbless wreck hanging in a bacta tank, necrotic skin pallid and scarred. I see them all at once. Everything he was and everything he has become. Only a master of evil, Darth. I cannot use his real name. It would undo me, even after all this time, catching in my throat. The time for talk is at an end. This must be decided once and for all. I strike first, our lightsabers flaring as they clash. The sudden illumination draws another shadow of Coruscant. Anakin railing against the wooden sticks I force him to use rather than energy weapons. I am not a child anymore, Obi-Wan. Why must we use toys? You must be patient, my young Padawan. This is but the first step. We have time. Not anymore. I sweep down and he blocks, anticipating the attack. Our blades hold. Energy fields discharging as they grind against each other. I see my face distorted in the reflective surface of his helmet. Old. Tired. Nearing the end. He's holding back. testing my limits. He wants to know how time has diminished my abilities. I'm doing the same with him. Exploring whether cybernetic joints move as smoothly as muscle honed from years of training. Perhaps we are more alike than I care to think. Now he takes control. The blow is coming faster and harder. I'm forced to duck, his lightsaber tracing a gleaming line down the metal wall. Sparks rain down, and I blink. Long enough for the torment to begin anew. Eyes scream, saber, pain, Anakin, Padme, Qui-Gon, Maul! I'm back on Tatooine, Nita wheezing after her exertion. It's taken so long to cross the flats, the sun's now high in the sky. Not for the first time, I curse my decision to settle so far from the moisture farm. What was I thinking? Another shift, another memory. Standing at Owen's door, explaining what has happened, asking for the stranger's help. He makes his terms abundantly clear. We'll take him in, but you'll play no part in his upbringing. If you have to stay on Tatooine, you keep your distance, do you hear? You neither see the boy nor speak to him. He must know nothing about his father. Nita grunts as I pull her to a stop. The farm is ahead, its dome the only landmark for kilometers around. All is as it should be. There is no evidence of blaster fire, no dark plumes of smoke billowing into the air. I allow my shoulders to relax. Perhaps I was mistaken. Perhaps Luke isn't in danger at all. Nita grumbles, tossing her head to dislodge the sandflies that have settled in her long eyelashes. I pat her neck, calming her, scanning my eyes along the ring of environmental sensors and motion detectors that form a protective border around the boy's adopted home. There he is, sitting cross-legged next to a moisture vaporator. He's hunched over in the sand, playing with a toy that I can't quite make out at this distance. I smile. I can guess what it is. The latest in a long line of model spaceships. I wonder if Owen knows where they come from, who it is that leaves them next to Shmi's sandblasted tombstone for Beru to find. As I sit here watching Luke sweep the wooden fighter through the air, I think of the toy Corvette I am building in my workshop. It is almost complete. I am particularly pleased with the ion engines. My finest work yet. Even now, at just 3 years old, it is obvious that Luke longs to fly. It is like seeing Anakin all over again. The mop of unruly blonde hair, the bright blue eyes, the hands permanently tinkering. Luke isn't content to just play with his toys. He's constantly at work modifying them, making improvements. So much like his father.
Your powers are weak, old man.
Our lightsabers clash. I try to push forward, only to be thrust violently back. It's like striking iron. There's no give in Vader's arms, and far too much in mine. You can't win, Darth. He barely reacts to the jibe, knowing all too well that I am aiming to provoke him, to turn his anger against himself. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Eyes scream, saber, pain! Eyes scream, saber, pain! Eyes scream, saber, pain! Is this power? This torture? I am like a leaf tossed in a storm. The present and the past crashing together. I can no longer tell what is real and what is a distant memory brought into sharp relief. Luke is safe. Luke is in danger. I am on Tatooine. I am on the battle station. It shouldn't be like this. This is not what Yoda promised me. I am being overwhelmed. The past, the present, even the future. I see things that are not yet to be. Leia slumped behind a console, her heart breaking. Captain Solo falling so very far. Evil triumphant, and then vanquished, and then rising again. And worst of all, Luke, as I am now, an old man, his face creased, his eyes haunted. He's cut off from those who love him, consumed by regret and sorrow. It is too much to bear. A future I never want to see. The raucous wail of a siren snaps me back to the past. My eyes dart from Luke to the invaders who have tripped the motion detectors. They wear a hodgepodge of body armor and animal skins, their band comprising at least half a dozen different species. There has been talk of bandits operating from Mos Eisley, plundering farms and settlements in the area, leaving only devastation and grief. Why hadn't I listened to the rumors? Why didn't I intervene before it was too late? I am a Jedi. Was a Jedi. Will be again. Beru calls for her nephew, but there is nowhere for Luke to run. If he tries to return to the dome, he will die. If he makes for the caverns across the flats, he will die. My other lives are forgotten in an instant. The betrayal of the past, the fight that is to come. All that matters is the here and now. Nita charges forward, my hand snatching for the lightsaber on my belt. The blade ignites, even as I launch myself from Nita's back, flipping over to land between the startled child and a towering brute wearing rancor hide. Run, Luke! Run! I can't tell if the boy heeds my words. The brute in front of me raises his blaster and I swing, easily deflecting the bolt. The farm is overrun in seconds. The marauders taking up positions both left and right. I spin, blocking blaster fire from all directions. At least I'm not alone in the defense of the farm. Owen joins the fray, battered rifle in hand. There is no time to think, only react. A sinewy hand grabs my shoulder. I whirl, relieving my would-be attacker of his life. My lightsaber dances through the air, my surroundings changing, flickering back and forth as Vader's form shifted before. Is sand beneath my feet, or the metallic deck of the battle station? The bandits advance, and Vader gains ground. I am young and I am old. I am here and I am there. I block and parry, attack and retreat. Vader is too strong. The bandits too numerous. The fight is against me twice over. Vader faints to the left, and I turn, only to receive a vibro mace to my chest. I skid along the sand as a gigantic Gamorrean boar lumbers toward me, his blunt weapon raised and ready to strike. Before I can even respond, something small and fragile smacks against the Gamorrean's flattened snout. The bemused thug hesitates, long enough for my blade to separate his feet from his ankles. I roll out of the way as the squealing boar crashes down where I lay, something sharp jabbing into my side. It is the fragments of the toy starfighter that have been tossed at the Gamorrean's head. Luke grabs my hand, attempting to haul me up. He has saved my life, this remarkable child. Luke! Owen yells from across the settlement. Get away! I leap back to my feet, rejoining the fight, which is now ours to win. The tide has turned, and the bandits are diminished one by one, decimated by blaster fire and plasma blade. As my last opponent cools at my feet, Luke cries out a warning. A Deveronian has reared up behind Owen, ready to bring the butt of his blaster down on the unsuspecting farmer's head. I pull back my arm and throw my lightsaber with all my might. The blade pinwheels through the air, finding its mark. The Deveronian drops, his body split in two. I reach out with the Force, extinguishing the lightsaber before drawing the hilt back to my open palm. Luke cheers, running full pelt toward me, arms as wide as a smile. There is a crunch behind me and I turn. Owen's fist burying itself in my nose. I slam down hard into the ground, the lightsaber skittering from my hand. All my training, all my experience, and a humble moisture farmer has achieved what neither battle droid nor Sith has achieved, knocking me flat on my back.
Uncle Owen!
Luke cries in confusion as his uncle manhandles the boy toward his aunt before turning to glower at me.
Go!
He all but spits, an accusatory finger punctuating the furious decree.
Get away from here! Haven't you people done enough to this family?
Done enough? I splutter, gingerly inspecting my throbbing nose for signs of blood. I'm not sure if you noticed, but I was trying to protect you.
We don't need your protection.
We don't need you at all. I could have handled this alone.
I always have, and I always will.
Owen, please. And I'm staring down the barrel of his rifle. I have no idea how much energy remains in the power pack, and have no urge to find out.
I saw him!
Owen hisses through gritted teeth.
He tried to save you!
My eyes flick to Luke, now safe in Baru's arms. He's a brave boy.
He could have been killed!
I open my mouth, but no words come. Breathing heavily, Owen lowers his blaster and turns his back on me.
I will protect him,
he tells me as he walks away.
I will keep him safe.
I look past Owen's back. Baru catches my eye and shakes her head sadly. She ushers Luke back to the dome. Owen stalking after them. Luke glances back for a moment, before all three vanish from sight. I am left alone with the dead, the twin sons beating down on me.
Eyes,
scream,
Saber,
pain.
Eyes, scream,
Saber, pain.
I know why I'm here, why I'm reliving this moment time and time again. This was when I failed Luke, just as I failed his father. I'd always believed, always hoped, that Owen's anger would cool toward me, that one day I would be allowed to train young Luke in the ways of the Force. The events of this fateful morning meant that Owen never let me near the boy again. He hadn't just been angry. He'd been scared. Scared of the look we'd both seen in his nephew's eyes. The bravery. The defiance. We'd seen that look before in other eyes.
You should not have come back,
Vader tells me. My resources are depleted, my body screaming with pain. I have no hope of winning this fight. He lunges at me, slash and counter-slash, stab and riposte. The air is thick with plasma discharge, lights dancing on the edge of my vision. I'm forced back, muscles burning, breath ragged. The grip of my lightsaber is slick in my hands, my ears ringing. Luke is near. I can feel him, and pray that Vader cannot. I have so much to teach the boy. So much to share. Why did I listen to Owen? Why did I wait too long?
Haven't you people done enough to this family?
Now it's too late. There's no way to prepare Luke for what is to come. I'm leaving him with who? A smuggler and a Wookiee. Even if by some miracle they've found Leia, what can they do? They're barely more than children. The Rebellion isn't prepared for a weapon of this magnitude. No one is. And it's all my fault. I have failed Luke again. I can't hold on. It is over. Unless...
Ben!
Luke's cry echoes across the landing bay. There he is, watching us fight, the open hatch of the freighter behind him. He knows full well that I cannot win. He is frozen with shock, unsure what to do, but that won't last long. Soon the spell will be broken, and he will come running. Those brave, defiant eyes will be cut down in a blaze of trooper fire. He needs more than a toy fighter this time. He needs to escape. To save himself, not me.
Go to him.
The voice in my head is louder than it has been for years. Yes, Master. I am an old man. Even if I tried, I couldn't outrun a blaster shot, not anymore. I'll never make it to Luke's side in time to save him. This is where we came in. I am Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I am dead. I glance back at Vader and smile. I can't even begin to imagine what he makes of that. It doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is Luke. I straighten my back, closing my eyes as I raise my saber in front of me. I don't see the blade sweeping through the air, barely even hear its whine. I imagine Luke, cross-legged in the sand, playing with a wooden corvette. Eyes, scream, saber, pain. Eyes, scream, saber, pain. Eyes, scream, saber, pain.
Ben! No!
Luke cries out again, consumed with grief. I see everything at once. The blaster in his hand. Solo taking out stormtroopers. Leia calling his name. The troopers advance, guns raised. If Luke stays, he will die. If he fights, he will die. I didn't let that happen before, and I won't let it happen now. I whisper the words I spoke when he was a child. Words I know that only he will hear. Run, Luke. Run. And he does. Luke Skywalker runs and doesn't stop. And I am at his side. From this moment, he will never be alone. He will learn, and he will grow, and I will guide him every step of the way. We have all the time we need.
There Is Another by Gary D. Schmidt. Yoda stood at the door of his hut, watching the straight streaks of sunlight tear apart the gathered gray of the sky. He turned and looked inside, then back to the sky. It was time. Probably past time. The rains had ended more than half an orbit before. Soon the sun would bear down on Dagobah, and the uplands would be too hot for even a small one like himself to bear. He had maybe a few days, maybe less. He sighed. Of the two seasons on Dagobah, the dry was the one he preferred. The view from the uplands reminded him of a time and place from long ago. But by now, the lower lands would have drained some, and the trees would have begun to emerge from their watery covering. It would soon be time to plant in the soggy reaches. Planting was a bother, but even a Jedi Master needs to eat. He looked back inside his hut again.
Each,
he thought,
has its advantages. More and more want the young. But less and less need the old.
He had felt this lessening over the last 2 centuries. He had sloughed off almost everything now, except those things dearest to him. His cane, begun as a joke, really, to convince the young Padawans that he was only an old and feeble Jedi. He would hobble to the class, and they would make way for their limping master. Then he would cast his cane aside and slice open the air with his lightsaber. They would gasp to see such an old and tired master ripple with the strength and quickness of the Force. And when his lesson was over, he would take up his cane again and stump away. But they were not sure what to believe. Did he need the cane or not? Now they would believe it. And the blanket on his bed, made from his old friend's cloak. How long had it been since Qui-Gon Jinn had become one with the Force? He went back inside and fingered the hem. Sometimes one strong in the Force might leave a hint of himself in what he had owned. But now, so many years had gone by. If Yoda had felt the hint once, he felt it no longer. And on the shelf above the bed, Obi-Wan's small pot, rounded by his own hands. Yoda reached up and called the pot to him. Its handle was cold. That was all, really. Once he had treasured his lightsaber, but that was lost in the ruins of the Senate chamber. He regretted that. It would have pleased him to have put the weapon into young Skywalker's hands. He imagined her feeling its weight, and then suddenly she would be surprised at the beam that leapt out. But she knew nothing of the Force and its ways. She had had no one to teach her. That, thought Yoda, was possibly a mistake. Still, he smiled. If the old needed less and less in the physical world, perhaps it was because they dwelled so much in the world of memory and the world of what might have been. There was little he loved to dwell upon more than the thought of young Skywalker coming into herself, learning of the powers that lay deep within her, and perhaps bringing to the galaxy a new age that she could not even hope to imagine. But how could she? Who she was, she did not know. It had been so many orbits since he had been a master to a Padawan. But sometimes, he wished. The hut was growing warm. It was time to pack what little there was to pack, and to move downward and away from the sun's hot breath. It did not take long. He stuffed what he had into a sack, a pouch of seeds gathered over the years, then the blanket, then the pot on top of that. He picked up his cane and stood at the door a moment, looking one last time at the hut he would not see for 8 orbits. And then he closed his eyes and reached out to check for the droids that had once searched so pitilessly for him. He still checked whenever he left the hut. But it had been a long, very long time since the last droid had swept past. Perhaps the Empire thought he was long dead and had ceased searching. Or, more likely, the Empire did not even care. So unimportant one ancient Jedi Master had become. He sighed again. Maybe the Empire was right. About how unimportant he had become, that was. He started down toward the lowlands. Already many of the trees had leafed out, even though some still stood with their feet in the green and thick water. But they wouldn't be standing in water for long. Yoda could see the water receding under the sun's glare, like something afraid of the light. Soon the lowlands would all be marshy swamp again, and he would plant last season's seeds. Then, before the sun began its long journey away, they would sprout. The gray clouds would come back and hold in the planet's humid air, and the sprouts would grow and flower and yield their fruit before a quarter orbit had passed. And by then, the sun would be far enough away that the rains would plunge down again, and the floods begin their inundation. And Yoda would trudge back to the uplands, carting behind him the food for the long season. He could hear the voices of his Padawans from long ago.
"What is it like to live the life of a Jedi Master?"
they would ask. If only they could see him now, he thought. He brushed his hands across his eyes. If only they could. But There are worse things than Dagobah. For much of the day, he trudged down toward the lowlands, the sand and rock beneath him growing warmer and warmer until he came to the edge of the planetary floods, where the water had barely sunk beneath the surface. Then he felt something on the very edge of his reach, and he was out in the open.
This is what comes of not keeping your mind on where you are and what you are doing.
Thumping along with his cane, he headed toward the shelter of three upended rocks that might survive a blast, maybe two. Nearly 900 years, and still he wanted more time. Foolish, Yoda thought. But if he had more time, he would wish that he could have trained one more Padawan. If only he'd had the time to train her. He reached the rocks, and then stopped. He felt it again. It wasn't a droid, nor was it one of the Empire ships. He reached out again. It wasn't even for him. And then it shifted, and it was for him. That old and familiar thrum the Force carried on its back. A steady vibration. Calm. Not the calm of a still night, but the calm of the sea that rose and fell with sureness and ease. It was Obi-Wan. Yoda leaned against the stones and smiled. Their exile had been too long and too lonely. But had the two of them remained together, the Empire would surely have found them. And there was the other Skywalker to watch over. Impetuous, headstrong, unruly, inattentive. He needed Obi-Wan's eye on him. Unlike the other, whose strength and will and clarity showed all the markings of a great Jedi. Still, as the vibration pulsed against him, Yoda felt loneliness grow. It was at least something to feel Obi-Wan's place in the Force, but how good it would be to sit down and talk together, to walk under the stars, perhaps to spar once again. Oh, that would be a delight he almost could not bear thinking about. And then another vibration came. And this one, too, was familiar. This one was hard and strong, and it pulsed fiercely. In its rhythm, it carried arrogance. In its rhythm, it carried darkness. And in its rhythm, it carried... This was the first that Yoda had ever noticed it. A terrible, angry, despairing loneliness. Loneliness. It was Anakin. Or what had become of him. And he was in pain. And the remedy he used to soothe himself was pain. The pain of both others and himself. Yoda brought his hand to the center of his chest. Then the two vibrations met. And their pulses fought across the back of the Force. And that was when the searching droid suddenly came up from the lowlands, hovering over the sand, moving quickly above the floodline. How could he not have sensed it? Automatically, Yoda's hands dropped the cane and went to his belt. But no lightsaber had hung there for a very long time. The bulbous eye of the droid was still turned away, but it would not be so for long. Its thermal sensors would pick up even his small body, especially as its heat reflected off the rock. Slowly, he let down his sack and rummaged inside. Obi-Wan's small pot, cool to the touch. He rubbed his hand across its side and sensed his Padawan. One last time. Then, he slowly set the pot on the ground. The thermal sensor of the droid flashed from blue to red. Its bulbous eye began to swivel his way. Yoda closed his eyes and felt the Force flowing beside him, flowing into the rock, flowing around Obi-Wan's small pot, and flowing into the sand beneath his feet. The sand, which rose up as Yoda raised his arms, and then flung itself at the droid as if in a fierce wind, and swirled around it in a blinding storm. And then Yoda raised his right arm even higher. He paused for a moment, then lowered his arm toward the droid, and Obi-Wan's pot flew through the swirl of sand and into the bulbous eye, shattering it in a rush of sparks. The explosion that came next was expected. These droids always had a self-destruct mechanism to use once damaged. The cries from the swamps below were loud and long. Explosions were unusual in the Dagobah system. Even from this far away, Yoda could hear the scurrying of small feet and the fluty flutterings of reptilian wings. They lasted longer than it took the pieces of the droid, large and small, to fall from the sky. Yoda picked up his cane and went to what remained. The pot was gone, disintegrated, no doubt. And it was right at that moment, at that exact moment, that Yoda felt Obi-Wan grow suddenly stronger and stronger and stronger, and then move in a quick burst into the netherworld of the Force. And Yoda felt Anakin fall even more deeply into painful loneliness. A loneliness so terrible that Yoda almost felt pity for him. He almost wished he could speak to him and to tell him that he needn't be lonely after all. There were... Yoda looked down at the ground, and there was the handle of the shattered pot. Somehow it had survived. But Obi-Wan was gone from this world. Yoda felt himself lower to the ground. Obi-Wan and Anakin. If only what had happened to Anakin had not been shadowed and hidden from them all. No, that was not true. If only he had perceived the paths that Anakin was beginning to follow. It was his own failing. That was why it would have been so important for him to train the young Skywalker. What might she have done to bring her father back? And to this disappointment now, Obi-Wan gone from this world. What did this mean for that other Skywalker, whose impatience and anger were terrible weaknesses? Obi-Wan. For Yoda, the galaxy was so rapidly becoming emptier and emptier. Perhaps that was why he did not sense the two new droids until they were almost upon him, drawn by the obliteration of their comrade. Again, he reached automatically for his lightsaber and almost smiled when his hand touched nothing. For just a moment, he felt how good it once was to fight with another Jedi at his back. To feel the Force binding them together. To feel their wills in one accord. Then, Yoda looked at the two droids rushing upon him. Their eyes upon him. Their sensors trained toward him. Their devices whirring with the robotic pleasure of fulfilling a mission. He was old. He raised his hand to... A shot, and lightning ripped the air over his shoulder, struck the rock behind him, and bounced back into the sack, which burst into immediate flame. His blanket! Qui-Gon's cloak! Yoda reached to the air around the two droids and pulled it closed like a curtain. The glass of their eyes burst. The old metal bodies crumpled into each other. The droids fell into a smoking heap. And Yoda quickly stamped out the flames
and pulled the blanket from the sack.
Singed, but not too badly. He reached in again. The pouch of seeds was unharmed. He felt Qui-Gon laughing at him, all the way from the netherworld of the Force. He would have to keep his mind on where he was. And that is what he did the rest of that day. He buried the droids. He probably did not need to, but it was best to be safe. He wrapped the seeds in the blanket and tied the ends tightly together. He reached out, carefully, this time very, very carefully, and felt the atmosphere around the planet. No more droids. He held back the loneliness. He held back a galaxy without Obi-Wan. Down, down the hills, and into the lowlands he went. The ground becoming wetter and wetter, spongy under his feet, which, he had to admit, felt cool and soothing after all the orbits of sand and rock. He came into the trees, the weeds still draining from their branches, and he heard the voices of all those who had spent the wet season hibernating beneath the waters, now coughing open their lungs to allow air in again, and stretching their wings and flapping them to dry. He would have to be sure to bury his seeds deeply and cover their scent with the springy moss. He found his lowland house easily. It, too, had survived its hibernation beneath the water, and it looked for the most part undamaged, dripping and green with mold, as always. But, he laughed, so was he. And the walls he could clean. Inside, the floors had drained. They would be dry within a day or two. The bunk was soaked through, of course, but a fire would soon set things right. It would not take long at all to resume life in the lowlands. And he was right. It did not. 5 days later, the house was dry and tight, a fire burning brightly in its hearth. He had trimmed the blanket. He was getting smaller and smaller anyway. But the shelf where he had always set the pot was empty. And every time he looked at it, he felt a stillness where he had once felt vibration. And he remembered. And he whispered to himself,
"Mourn them, do not. Miss them, do not. Rejoice for those who transform into the Force."
But he was lonely.
"Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose."
But he was lonely and old, and he had failed. He had not seen the paths the young Padawan Anakin had begun to take. He had missed his chance with the young Skywalker. And what would happen with this other reckless Skywalker? The one who was as angry as his father had been. The next few days, when he planted the seeds, he planted them deeply, thrusting them into the damp and soft ground with his cane, so deep they might not come up again. But he gathered the moss from the branches and covered the plot. And when he had finished, it looked as if nothing at all had been planted there, as if nothing would come up from all that effort. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. The night he finished, Yoda sat in front of his fire. And he was lonely. And he missed more than he could say. Old friends now gone. So he reached out across the netherworld of the Force for Qui-Gon. But he could not sense him. He reached again and again. But there was no reply.
"Qui-Gon is occupied, Master Yoda."
said Obi-Wan. Yoda looked up, though he hardly needed to. He suddenly felt the hut so full of life, so full of Obi-Wan, who sat cross-legged inside the doorway, shimmering.
Never before so quietly have you come into a room, Master Kenobi.
Obi-Wan nodded his shining head.
I find I have developed several new skills of late.
An entry into the world of the Force it would take for you to develop this one.
As you say, Master.
Yoda crossed the room and sat down on his bunk. It was no longer as damp as it had been.
I am old, Master Kenobi.
900 years is old.
And worn out.
Not so worn out as you might think, Master. Where is my pot?
Yoda looked up at the empty shelf.
There was an encounter,
he said.
An encounter? Not so difficult an encounter that you were unable to preserve Qui-Gon's cloak, I see.
Always with you, it has to be both. Difficult choices must we sometimes make in this world.
As now, Master.
Here you are for that?
Master, I want you to take on a new Padawan.
You do, do you?
I want you to train young Skywalker.
Yoda felt his heart thrill. He had not imagined it could have happened, but here it was.
Yes.
You agree so quickly?
Long have I wanted to train her.
Master, I want you to train Luke.
Yoda looked at the shimmering face.
No,
he said. He stamped his cane on the floor.
That is not the one. Not ready, is he?
Who is ever ready?
Not that one. A Jedi must have the deepest commitment. That one looks from one cloud to another. A Jedi must have the most serious mind. That one cannot keep his mind from his speeder. Not him. Her.
Master.
He will not finish what he begins. He is reckless.
Master.
And well we know the path a reckless one will set his foot.
The shimmering Obi-Wan sat down on the bunk beside his old master.
This is damp, said Obi-Wan.
Bother you, does dampness still, Master Kenobi?
You will be surprised, Master.
For one 900 years old, no more surprises are there.
Obi-Wan smiled.
I promise you, Master, you will be surprised.
Said Yoda. He lay down on his bed and pulled the blanket up around him.
Already come the time is to be with you. Already come the time is to become one with the Force.
Obi-Wan shook his head.
Not yet.
And to tell me this, you are the one?
Obi-Wan spread his arms wide, almost as if he would embrace his old master.
I am the one to tell you this.
Impertinent still.
Yes, Master.
A long silence.
The other Skywalker I would train. She is ready.
Obi-Wan shook his head again.
Oh, demanding now we have become, have we?
Forgive me, Master.
And if I try to teach this rash, this impatient, this mindless boy, the ways of the Force, and fail? What then?
Obi-Wan smiled.
I seem to remember an old master of mine who liked to say something about trying.
Said Yoda, and drew the blanket up closer. He closed his eyes, and Obi-Wan waited.
Send him to me, then,
said Yoda. in a voice quiet as a whisper. Obi-Wan tucked the blanket around Yoda's chin.
And Obi-Wan?
Yes, Master?
Sorry about the patch. I am.
It was old and ugly.